because we do have Selwyn Manning on the line. Are you there, Selwyn?
Yeah, g'day, John.
Lovely.
I'm here all the time.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. It seems to be a day of computer malfunctions. I'm, yeah, not good.
No worries. There's a theory about the spiral of silence, you know, where people kind of engage with others and kind of, you know, send messages to the internet and do all of this, thinking that they're really being a pain in the neck for the other person or engaging, but all the time they've actually been blocked and they're just going into a big hole where no one knows anything about. That's what it felt like.
Oh, well, I've thrown you the rope and I've dragged you out.
And the lifeline.
Thankfully. So this week we'd be remiss, I guess, to not talk about the hoedown, if you like, on Monday yes. night on telly with Mr. Yep. Goff and Mr. Key. What were your thoughts?
And last night too, you know, down in Christchurch, the leaders' debate down
yep.
there. You know, clearly it was a very good performance by both of the leaders on Monday on the TVNZ debate, despite the awful kind of format that was confronting them there. I kind of was wanting to hear more from Fran O'Sullivan, Wallace, and Wallace Chapman, you know, in the wings there, because, you know, their questions and their kind of analysis would have been far better than those two political scientists that TVNZ had there that were more preoccupied in what the politicians looked like and their, yeah. their actual performance and fluency yeah. than anything else. You know, political scientists generally would kind of go tut-tut at the media when we journalists kind of analyse such things and fall into the arena of the trivial, but to actually see them themselves sitting there and, oh, you know, well, John Key looked quite slick there, yeah. and I think there was a slight hesitancy in the voice of Phil Goff, and you kind of thought, oh, come on, someone whack them with a wet flannel and tell them to go away, not getting a check for the night, and actually put some journalists on there. But anyway, that aside, that was my gripe watching it, but that aside, you know, we could kind of see that I think John Key went in there, he was very slick at the beginning of it, I thought, and yeah. was right on message and, you know, really delivering, you know, representing what his party's policies were. But what we saw, I think, was Phil Goff kind of having a, you know, really taking on those kind of Kiwi values, you know, of giving people a fair go yeah. kind of aspects. And he was kind of, I thought, the political tactician there out of the two. Mm. I thought Phil Goff on tactics was far more swift and able to peel the veneer off John Key as yeah. that debate went on.
Yeah, he looked, you know, because all this stuff you hear, oh, he's Phil Goff, yeah. he's got no backbone, Phil Goff, yeah. he's a nowhere yeah. man. And you know what I thought? I was watching it and I thought, you know what, he's actually, he's calling him out here. And it's good. It was good. Yeah.
Went in as the underdog, Phil Goff, and you know that's always a good position to be in if you know you've got the goods. And I thought by the end of it, once he got his steam going, you know, he was actually representing, I think, all New Zealanders very well, yeah. and that was kind of the difference. I think, you know, what his tactics, just looking at it and analysing it later, I kind of thought that there was an effect to it, and it was a wise one. It was looking at problems, you know, a cause and effect type of equation going on there. What was the cause of the problem? What was the effect of, you know, that? And then really looking at kind of solutions, you know, that the Labor Party was putting up there. And irrespective of whether or not you think the solutions were right or wrong, you know, in some ways he was doing his job as the leader of that party and getting them out there. At the same time, turning around and pointing the finger at the incumbent Prime Minister and saying, you know, this isn't good enough. Even calling him out on some untruths during the night.
Yes.
I think the two politicians had two messages to get out there. Phil Goff wanted to make sure that the public could see when John Key was not being entirely truthful. And we saw John Key painting Phil Goff as a big spending buffoon, you know, and I think both of them got their messages across there. And even right at the end of that debate, it was in evidence, was John Key replying to Phil Goff and saying, come on, you know, we inherited 10 years of deficits from the Labor Party. Mm. Well, anyone who looks at the record of the last 10 years knows that it was surplus all the way through. The 2008 was books were in surplus by $5 billion. Yeah. National inherited that, but it also inherited obviously a financial global crisis.
Right.
But we've had deficits ever since.
It's
so he was yeah. caught out. He was it's a bit uncool to call him a liar because yeah. He was just caught out, not actually saying the actual truth of the matter. He was stringing someone along, you know, and yeah. that. it's a bit different than saying that, you know, that your prime minister's a liar. I don't think we need to go there.
Yeah. One thing I did notice, and I think I mentioned it when the oil spill of the Rena happened, was that I kind of felt that John Key, he looks different now. He looks like... Have you noticed his brow is furrowed now, and it's almost like he's pleading with people, and, oh, you please like me.
It's not going all his own way, is it? Yeah. You know, this is a guy that loves positivity. I mean, he's the kind of, you know, I think we've mentioned on your program before, the good things about John Key is that he's a positive kind of guy. He'll talk positivity into the room. He's engaging and all of that type of thing. The problem is sometimes things don't always go the way you want them to, and sometimes they're hard, miserable kind of decisions one has to make. Yeah. Instead, what we see is John Key kind of, you know, God, only around 24 hours after the Christchurch earthquake on February 22nd, John Key was on the balcony of his Beehive office, standing there having a YouTube video clip being recorded of him saying how wonderful the view was. I love coming out onto this balcony and look at this, as he kind of sweeps his arm across the grandeur of the view from his Beehive office. It took him about 2 minutes to actually get on message and actually talk about how terrible it was down in Christchurch. This was a guy who had already been there and saw how destructive that earthquake had been to the people. This is, and at the same time, when there were still people dying in the rubble. Yeah. And we had that guy. If people don't believe me, go on to YouTube, put in National Party, John Key, and put in around February 22nd. And you know, and you have a look at what's going on there. I'm not pulling your strings there, John. It's a real shocker.
Yeah, if to any listeners, yeah, do that. Have a look at that. You also wanted to talk about the welfare policy as well, didn't you?
Yeah, well, this to me, I think, is in real poor form. In some ways, they're saying, vote us in, this is what you're going to get, this is the mandate we're seeking from the people, and we're going to do it. And on this welfare reform package that came out this week, National Party, I thought, was really starting to actually get pretty low. One of the things that's a political tactic in such elections, from a strategy point of view, is if you're having problems with the economy or something like that, you look for a scapegoat group, an out group, and you actually exploit that and kind of hint that they're basically draining, you know, the coffers. Yeah. And we've seen this from time to time over the last 3 years and in the past from other parties too when they've been in government. You know, they'll kick at the beneficiaries. They'll kick at the DPB, the women on the DPB. And we saw this week once again, you know, the National Party absolutely putting the boot in to solo mothers out there that, you know, are trying to, you know, just about all of them for sure, are trying to actually do the best for their kids. Yeah. Now, some people will say, yeah, but they should get out there and do a job. Yep, that's all fine. And, you know, these governments, these parties in government have struggled for decades to find a policy that works in that transition from benefit to work kind of period. But the big thing for me, John, on this whole thing is in every case where there's a solo mother, where there are kids in the household, somewhere in the equation, of course, there's a male, right?
Yep.
It's a biological fact. Now, if that solo mother is dependent on the state to the degree where she's having to be reliant on the DPB to get shoes on the kids' feet and to get, you know, the basics of life for the child, that male in the equation is not living up to their responsibility. And I believe, and there's no politician saying this type of thing, I reckon that National Party would save the government, save New Zealand, more taxpayers' money if it pursued those males, even if they're on a benefit, work with them. They're the ones who are not looking after the kids in most cases. Of course, there are some males on DPB, but, you know, I'm talking about the generalisation here. Also, those who are in employment, they've all got tax numbers. Even if they're in Australia, say they've scarpered and bolted to Aussie or further afield, New Zealand has agreements to pull that money off them and to actually bring it in childcare and to actually put that back into the household of where that child was. I think that that's where the emphasis should be, in hunting down those who are the male in the equation, who are responsible for making sure that there's, you know, a good life for their child, and getting the money from there instead of putting the boot into the woman who's trying to actually raise the children.
Makes you wonder as well, you know, the amount of money that the beneficiaries are taking versus the amount of money that goes unpaid in taxes by these massive corporations. It just, this is kind of a disparity there that's never going
to
get addressed.
Purely and simply what it is. You know, this particular thing, I just think it's a low blow. And then in an election where National probably thinks it can comfortably get back into government, and it's actually putting stuff out there like that. You know, we always used to criticise Winston Peters, the leader of New Zealand First, for going really hard on immigrants and people like that, and then sometimes it did appear to be pretty low blows that were coming out of that party. This type of thing is the same kind of thing, except actually directed at women who are trying to raise children, and I think it's poor form.
Yeah, I don't know, this is just, I mean, I come from a single parent family. My mother had to work really hard, and, you know, it's just to see to see these women getting attacked by, you know, the powers that be, the people that are supposed to be looking out for them, it just disheartens me a little bit, you know.
Yeah. And you're a dad yourself,
yeah,
Tonya.
Yeah, exactly. I am.
And what do you think of you know, making a change in policy there, where a government actually goes to the male in the equation and says, "Hey, you're not doing enough here." Yeah. And you've got to step up to the mark in making sure that happens. What do you reckon about that?
To be honest, I don't really understand how. I don't understand how someone could go to Australia and leave their kids here. I mean, whatever happens now, I don't want to go back to England. It's not on the agenda. It never has been since I arrived. But I couldn't go now because I couldn't be apart from my little boy. You know, I just couldn't. And I couldn't see my boy go, you know, unfed, unclothed. I just couldn't see it. I just don't get it. It
doesn't get there. Yeah. You know, and you know, I don't think anyone would suggest that, you know, of course, relationships break down sometimes, you know, that's a fact of life, and it would be ridiculous to kind of say that people should suffer in a relationship when it's not going the way they would intend it to. But this is about, you know, disresponsibilities. And of course, the other thing is there are quite a number of men that are raising the children too. Yeah. And you know, we're kind of talking about the same thing there. It's not just gender specific here. Yeah. If the male's in the DPB raising the children, and the woman in the equation has bolted somewhere else, then there are other complexities too. You know, it's not just straightforward. It may be that the father of the children has died, and the mother is a solo mother trying to raise it without any family support or anything like that. And this government's putting the boot in there. You know, on any kind of level, it just doesn't seem right. To me, you know, there are big things in this election campaign. It is all about the economy and how to make sure that the country gets through the next 3 years in the best shape it possibly can. Mm. National, it says to John Key in the debate last night, National's John Key says to Labor's Phil Gough in the debate last night in Christchurch, show us the money. Where's the money going to come from, Gough? Because Labor hasn't put out its calculations, and there's quite a septic column by piece by Gordon Campbell on the front of Scoop at the moment that really kind of whacks Labor and not getting its numbers crunched out there quicker, you know, because Gough was left short, and David Cunliffe has really got to deliver, you know, all of that costings. We understand the costings are there, so why hasn't Labor put them out there? You know, and John Key is just, even today, you know, the National Party's milking that. You know, we had Stephen Joyce put out a statement about half an hour ago or an hour ago saying, where's the money? You know, and they're saying to Labor, where are your costings? We want to see that, you big spending people. You're not coming up with the goods. At the same time, you know, as Gordon Campbell's pointing out in that piece on the front of Scoop, Phil Gough, all he needed to do was to turn to John Key and say, where are the jobs, mate? Where are the jobs? You say there's 170,000 jobs coming in the next few years. Where are they? Yeah. Unemployment figures came out 2 hours ago, John. You know what they were? They'd gone up from 6.5% unemployment to 6.1%. The National Party's crowing that that's not too bad.
Perhaps that ties back into what we were talking about earlier, this narrowing of the pay gap. Maybe it's something to do with all of these job losses. Or these ghost jobs, as they call them.
Yeah. Go tell it to the people who are lining up at the supermarket jobs. You know, 1,000 people lining up in queues in Christchurch and up here in Hamilton and also in South Auckland for a handful of jobs to get in there. Yeah. You know, they'll tell a different story, won't they?
Well, that's it. Well, look, Selwyn, again, it's been a pleasure talking to you again. And probably there's going to be, you know, they do say, what, is a week is a long time in politics, don't they? So I'm sure we'll have a lot to chat about next week. But yeah, once again, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And
okay, mate.
I look forward to speaking to you again next week, my friend.
See you soon. Bye.
See you later, mate. Bye.